Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. Longtime real estate investor, founder of Morris Invest, which is a full-service rental real estate company. Before we get started, I want you to grab our totally free Financial Freedom 90-Day Bootcamp. For 90 days, week by week, we take you through the strategies and tactics to help you build financial freedom. Even if you're a more advanced investor, it's okay to go back to some of the fundamentals of performing assets versus liabilities. Or if you're just beginning, go to morrisinvest.com/bootcamp. Right now, morrisinvest.com/bootcamp and grab our 90-day Financial Freedom Bootcamp. Again, totally free. We put a lot of work into it, and I want you to be successful. So go grab that bootcamp for free. All right, today is a Q&A episode, so we're going to be answering some of your questions today on the show. So you can always leave us a voicemail question, 30 seconds or less, just by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton is how you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question. Okay, our first question today comes from Crystal. Crystal, take it away.
Hi, Clayton. This is Crystal from Maryland. And I was just wondering, with the issues that some investors are facing during this eviction moratorium, would you suggest that we offer shorter lease terms, for example, 1 year as opposed to longer going forward? And also, is there just anything else that you can add to your tenant lease to be more protective during these times? Thanks.
Thank you, Crystal. Great questions. Very thoughtful question. Thank you so much. I would say, number one, you definitely want to work with your property management company on this question. So like at Morris Invest, we only work with fantastic property management companies that have been in business longer than 5 years, that have great software, that communicate in an excellent manner with not only clients, but also the tenants. Are fantastic at doing background checks on tenants. So all of those things should be front loaded, right? So that you're protected later. During this pandemic, we've been in markets where the jobs have remained. That means the cash flow has sustained. That means tenants aren't going through eviction processes. Very, very important. So even during a pandemic, we've been investing in markets where Fortune 500 companies have moved, universities, hospital systems, et cetera. So when something like this does happen, you're protected ahead of time. Now, your question is more of a band-aid to the problem now, right? Now you're trying to figure out, okay, what do I do to protect the tenant, myself, now that we're in this situation? So again, talk with your property management company about different strategies and tactics around that. I am a big fan of, it was in the past that, longer-term leases seemed like a great idea. And I definitely have had 5-year leases on a couple of my properties. But now, again, talk with your property management company about their suggestions, because the markets shift. And, rent is obviously continuing to go up, certainly in appreciating market areas where you're in great school districts and there's a demand for that. So by virtue of being in great school districts, being in great investing areas, the lease length kind of goes out the window. You see what I'm saying? In many ways, I feel like the longer the lease, then what you're dealing with is almost like you're trying to lock someone into a bad deal. Does that make sense? Like, if you know you have a good place to rent in a great market, you should be able to fill that property in 2 weeks, right? So like, we have a waiting list for tenants in our properties because the school districts are the best and the job market is fantastic. So if someone wants to leave and they have to move, I don't want to say, hey, well, you signed a 5-year lease, you're only in year two. You have to break your lease and move out. Here's your penalty, et cetera. And we have another tenant ready to move in, like within a week or two after a cleaning and a tenant turnover. So I feel like that longer lease agreement is sort of locking people into something. It hurts you, I think, also in the long run, because after a tenant moves out, that's obviously an opportunity, time to look at the market and raise rents. And say, okay, we can raise it $100 because every other house in this entire neighborhood went up $300. So you have the opportunity to make more profit, especially if you're offering a great property in a great school district in great areas. So some things to consider. I get the appeal of the longer lease. I really do. And in the beginning of my investing journey, I thought, well, 5-year lease, that's great. But then what happens is after a year to 2 years, your rent is way lower than the rest of the neighborhood. And so now it's like what a bargain this person has, after And now for another 3 years, while the market is going up, you're locked into this two-year-old lease agreement. So just think about those things. But I think this is more of a Band-Aid question than a preemptive planning, which is make sure you're investing in markets that are in many ways recession-proof, pandemic-proof, where you have low crime, expanding job market, boring markets. We're not talking Vegas, in San Francisco. We're talking about bread and butter, great neighborhoods where there is just expansion and growth and a lot of potential. And then that way you really don't have to worry about this lease length question. Anyway, Crystal, thank you for that thoughtful question. I hope I gave you a thoughtful response. Okay, our next question comes to us from Beth. Beth, take it away.
Hi, I'm curious. I've been seeing Morris Invest a lot, and I've been hearing another company's name. I believe it's SDIRA Wealth. I've heard people reference it as Sidira Wealth. Can you tell me who they are? Just curious. Thanks.
Sure. So right on our website, if you go to morrisinvest.com, you'll see that in 2018, we partnered with, back then we decided, how can we take our customer service experience, operations experience to the next level? And we partnered with Sidira Wealth to offer a larger platform of benefits and experiences to our customers and our clients. And we really wanted to, we said, okay, look, Sidira Wealth has 20 years of experience, over $1 billion in sales. And on the marketing and customer service side, how can we come together and offer the best possible experience for our clients? So we came together, said, all right, we are going to do this together. So as we've built this mission together, now we have our mission statement. In fact, I'll read it right off our website: to empower people to move beyond the status quo and create the best possible experience with our solution. And so with over 20 years of real estate experience, $1 billion in sales, we came together to offer the best possible solution for our client. And it's funny, when we look in the marketplace for a full service rental real estate company, they just don't exist. And nobody is doing what we're doing. And so we said in 2018, like, how can we literally be unstoppable? How can we go to the moon? There's other so-called turnkey companies out there that will just sort of give you the keys and then they're sort of out of the picture. Or they'll charge an ongoing fee and all this other stuff. That's fine. That's their model. What we wanted to do was be there for the long run. So that's what we're able to do. It's been an amazing partnership. The sky is the limit as we've teamed up to build over about 400 homes this year, to be able to educate, and provide the best possible customer service to our clients. Just go to our website. You can see the testimonials on our website at morrisinvest.com. So it was a little bit of a self-serving question, but thank you for that. That has been our mission together. It's just been an amazing partnership, and we're going to continue that for many, many years to come. So thrilled about that. Today's episode is brought to you by IPVanish. You've probably heard me talk about using a VPN, a virtual private network, to browse the internet. I don't ever use the internet without using one. If you are surfing the web, doing banking, doing anything, you need to have a VPN. It's a virtual private network that gives you anonymous IP addresses. This means that your personal IP address that's tied to your home cannot be tracked by anyone on the web. You can circumvent any online censorship. That means if you're in the United States and you want to listen to some BBC content on their iPlayer, which you can't get in the US, boom, using IPVanish.com, you can. Just like if you were in another country and you wanted to access Disney Plus and you have a subscription, but you can't because it's not in that region. Again, censorship, get out of our way. Get protection also when you're on public Wi-Fi. So if you go to a Starbucks or something, turn on IPVanish, boom. No one can hack into your computer. No one can get access to your data. It's fantastic. You need to use them. And you're going to get 65% savings when you go to IPVanish.com/investing. That's IPVanish.com/investing. They have plans starting at just $3.49 a month. And I got to tell you, folks, I do not only in real estate investing, I do some crypto trading and some other things. And so, some of the exchanges that I use, they're not available to US customers. And so I have to use an IP address. I have to use IPVanish so that I can get access to some of the best exchanges like Binance, which is an international exchange. Their US version doesn't give me access to the coins that I want to trade. So again, another reason to use a VPN. Check them out and get 65% savings. ipvanish.com/investing. All right, our next question comes to us from Pratap. I think I'm saying that correctly. Pratap, take it away.
Hey, good morning, Clayton. My name is Pratap. I have a question regarding using a HELOC account. You mentioned in your book that the minute we have another checking account, the HELOC strategy fails. But some of the companies, like mortgage companies or credit card, they don't take. I could not use the the HELOC checking account because I don't know. It says it's not valid, or they could not find the account, even though I have the check and everything. I have the checking account number and everything. And then, so using HELOC, can you explain a little bit more how to pay off? I mean, I paid off $60,000-$70,000 on my primary home using HELOC. So can you please explain how to use the HELOC the best? Thank you.
Thank you, Pratap. I appreciate the question. Now, what you're experiencing is very similar to what Natalie and I experienced back in the day. Now, we've done this strategy multiple times. And of course, we wrote a book about it called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. So if you want to check it out on Amazon, it's been under the mortgage section. It's been the top rated number one bestseller in that section for a couple of years now. And we've even updated it because different banking laws and things as it relates to, you know, using HELOCs or different financial products as it shifts under the Trump tax regime, et cetera. But ultimately, the home equity line of credit is a powerful tool both to use to pay down your primary residence and also to invest in rental real estate separately. So the way that I've encouraged people to do is not to just take that into, let's say you have $60,000, $70,000, $75,000 in home equity. They've given you a home equity line of credit for $75,000, let's just say, because that's how much equity they've given you. And you basically start with a zero balance, right? They basically give you a debit card, they give you checks, and it's essentially a checking account. Now you can take that and you can maybe write a check to your primary balance of your mortgage. Take a $10,000 check and just write it right to the primary balance of your home mortgage. This is how you pay this thing off in like 5 years. Now, we have so many case studies of people who've read my book, gone through it, and paid off their home in 5 years. So if you're sitting there saying, that doesn't work, one of my best friends, who literally got a perfect on his SATs, okay? One of my dearest friends from childhood, my friend Ben, got a perfect on his math SATs. He's a math genius, okay? And he became an actuary, which if you don't understand like actuarial tables and the insurance business, like you need to have your math chops, okay? This guy's genius. He read my book and I was so blown away by it. He sent me a text. He said, I just want to let you know I read your book and we are literally 2 months away from paying off our mortgage. He's like, I can't thank you enough. And I was sitting there blown away. I'm like, he got a perfect on his SATs. And he's thanking me for this. It does work, okay? And he said, we literally paid it off like 1 month shy of 5 years. And I said, that is like the perfect testimonial. And what he did was he used the home equity line of credit strategy. He had a HELOC on it. He took a chunk of the HELOC and he would fire it to the principal balance of his mortgage. The way that we explain it in the book, the ultimate way that we explain it in the book is to use your home equity line of credit as a checking account where you're basically paying all of your bills. You're doing all of that day-to-day operational stuff out of the checking account. If you want more details on it, it's not fit for a podcast because we have some charts and graphs and things like that in the book. But the bottom line is you're going to use that main check, your main HELOC as your checking account to pay Netflix, your groceries, all of that, and your direct deposit from work. So your direct deposit from your job, your W-2 job, is going to go into that new HELOC checking account. And when it goes in there, you use that, it's paying back it down to zero again. You see, let's say you cut a check for $10,000 to the principal balance of your mortgage, right? And your mortgage was $100,000, now it's $90,000 because you literally just cut a check to the principal balance of your mortgage, your main mortgage. Now your HELOC is $10,000, but your main mortgage is $90,000. The reason this works is because they're two different financial products and you're trading time and money. You know, those are the two big enemies, time and money. Sorry, yes. The two big enemies are time and interest when it comes to mortgages. So what you're doing is you're attacking the time. Okay. And you're attacking, yes, interest is over here. It's going to be a little bit higher on the HELOC, but you're attacking the time enemy. When you have a 30-year amortized mortgage, that's the killer. Because you're not paying $100,000 on your main mortgage. You're paying probably $300,000 over the length of that 30-year mortgage. That's how they make money. So if you can attack the time enemy in this whole scenario, that's how you win. So Pratap, what you're experiencing is what Natalie and I experienced from one of the banks that we worked with. We said, we'd like to set up this checking account so that it becomes the direct deposit from my job. It becomes, you know, I can use it to pay groceries and use it all. And one woman at the, she said, you can't do that. You can't do that. And we said, oh yeah, you can. We know you can. Can we talk to your supervisor? And we explained what we wanted to do, which was every week we wanted to basically have my direct deposit from my job go into this account. It's a checking account after all. And her supervisor said, oh yeah, you can do that. That's no problem. And so we set up my direct deposit from work. Every week it would go into that account and it would pay down that balance. Then when it got down to zero or close to zero, I'd write another check. I'd write another $10,000 check to my primary mortgage. And that's how it works. So first of all, I'd talk to the bank, see if you can talk to a supervisor, explain to them what you want to do. And if not, if they're, you know, if this is not going to work, then fine. Do it once a month. Write a check once a month, just use it for that purpose, and then just use another credit card or your other checking account for your day-to-day operations, buying groceries, gasoline, et cetera. So you might be stuck. If the bank really gives you gives you a problem with it, then just say, okay, fine. But I am going to use it once a month for this purpose. You don't even need to tell them what it is, okay? And then they'll just have to deal with it. So great question, Pratap. I would encourage all of you to read the book, though. It's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years by Clayton Morris and Natalie Morris. It's short. You can read it in a few days. But I think it would really, really help you to accelerate the payments of not only rental properties, but also your primary mortgage. So thank you for that great question. And thanks to all of you for your great questions today. If you have anything you would like to ask, 30 seconds or less, go to our website. Go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Leave us a voicemail question, and I will try to answer it here on the show. Thank you so much, everyone. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it is the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.